Welcome to the Deep Dive, where we take your sources and uncover the most important, sometimes surprising, insights. Today, we're plunging into a topic that sits right at the intersection of creativity and cutting-edge technology, the profound and rapidly evolving influence of artificial intelligence on the world of interior design. For this deep dive, we've gathered quite a stack of sources. We've got insights from the British Institute of Interior Design, Commercial Interior Design, the Studio by DH, the UAE government's official portal, even a YouTube segment from Checkpoint to Podcast, plus articles from Ready Interior, Profit and Estate Forespace, and an intriguing opinion piece from Arabian Business. So a really good mix. Our mission for you today, well, it's to unpack the practical uses, the really exciting potential, but also, you know, the significant risks and the future outlook of AI in this very creative field. We'll be paying special attention to its rapid adoption and some unique things happening in places like Dubai. Get ready to discover how AI isn't just another tool. It's really a transformative force. It's reshaping aesthetics, functionality, even how we define home. And honestly, it's happening faster than you might think. As we'll explore today, this isn't just about getting mood boards done quicker. It's about this deep tension, really, between hyper-efficiency and, well, the essence of human creativity. And it's playing out in some pretty unexpected ways.
Yeah, it's already making waves, isn't it? So let's start by grounding this in the everyday. When we talk about AI and interior design, what's that actually look like day to day for a designer, or maybe even for you, the homeowner? What are the practical applications we're seeing right now making a real tangible difference?
Yeah, it's really interesting how quickly AI has woven itself into the practical workflow. It's almost like an assistant for designers now. Stephen Dick from Residence Interior Design, he notes that these AI capabilities, you know, integrated into the digital tools designers already use for presentations, tweaking images, retouching, they're saving huge amounts of studio time.
Wow, huge amounts.
Exactly. And it's not just about going faster. It's kind of fundamentally redefining what a designer does. You can imagine them shifting away from like the operational grind, the repetitive stuff, to become more like visionaries or strategists, maybe even design psychologists, spending more time on the human side, the emotional connection, you know, the stuff clients really value and pay for.
That is a huge benefit, getting that time back. But, is there a potential downside there? If you automate too many of those repetitive tasks, do some of those tasks, even the boring ones, actually help build a designer's gut feeling, their intuition? Could AI be bypassing that?
That's a really sharp point. For now, AI seems to excel at the visual stuff. Lots of designers are using text-to-image tools. You type in a description, get an image back for presentations. Now, Stephen Dick does say the current models might lack a feeling of authenticity. But then he reminds us, we're currently using the worst AI that we'll ever have.
Huh, that's quite a thought.
So this is going to develop. And fast. So yeah, what looks a bit off today, it'll probably be incredibly sophisticated tomorrow. But critically, the human eye is still needed to refine it, to check it.
That's a powerful statement. Optimistic, yeah. Too. But does this super fast development also mean we might be building on shaky ground? Like, how do designers make sure the AI output is reliable when the tech itself is changing almost daily?
It definitely points to the need for constant human oversight, for critical thinking. But for now, it's a powerful boost, especially in that initial creative spark phase. Preet Anand at Mood Interiors, she highlights how useful AI is for inspiration, interpreting briefs, visualizing them in 3D right at the start. She says it really helps clients see the thinking and takes away any ambiguity in the brief, which is huge, especially for clients who aren't naturally visual.
Yeah, I can totally see that. Getting everyone on the same page early must save so much hassle later on. And it's not just the creative side, right? It helps with other stuff, too.
Oh, absolutely. Preet Anand also mentioned finding AI incredibly helpful for the routine admin tasks, things like marketing, project management. She says it gives her more time to focus on the creative process and the areas my clients are really paying me for. So AI isn't just spitting out images. It's also acting like a, well, an efficiency partner.
Right. A productivity booster all around. What about more complex design thinking, like figuring out the best layout for a space, how it functions, the flow?
That's where generative design comes into play. It's pretty clever. Think of it like this. AI takes a bunch of rules, room size, how people need to move through it, maybe even sound requirements, and then it just churns out options, like hundreds, maybe thousands of optimized design solutions. Tatiana Todu from Object One points out these tools can spit out multiple layout options in seconds. Designers can explore way more possibilities for flow and function.
Wow.
And it gets better. AI can also suggest material combinations based on things like sustainability goals, cost, for the residents live. That's a pretty big leap forward.
That is incredible. Moving beyond just how it looks to actually informing the functional side, the sustainable choices, are there like specific examples where AI suggested a material mix that a human might have missed, maybe finding some weird but brilliant balance of cost and eco-friendliness?
The sources suggest it's more about presenting a much wider range of optimized options than a human could possibly come up with in the same time.
Yeah.
It gives the designer a really informed starting point, you know? And then for showing those choices to clients, AI-powered tools can simulate different designs with unparalleled precision, according to the studio by DH and Ratty Interior. Okay. Helps clients really see the end result, cuts down project timelines.
Precision leads to happier clients and faster projects. Makes sense.
Exactly.
Okay, personalization. That's huge everywhere now. But can AI really get the nuance, the subtle stuff about individual taste? How deep can it go into lifestyles, emotional triggers to make something feel truly personal, not just, you know, algorithmically matched?
Well, AI can definitely create interiors that match preferences, yeah.
Yeah.
Tailoring spaces based on data about lifestyle, habits, even trying to factor in emotional triggers. But here's maybe a subtle question the sources raise.
Mm-hmm.
Is this AI personalization truly reflecting you? Or is it the AI's best guess based on patterns? Is it missing those unsaid things? Or the happy accidents a human designer might discover through conversation? The studio by DH and Ratty Interior both highlight this capability, suggesting it's pretty effective at mimicking personal taste, at least.
Interesting distinction. And for someone maybe not hiring a top designer, can AI make good design more accessible for the average homeowner?
Oh, absolutely. That's a big plus. For homeowners, these AI-driven platforms offer really affordable solutions, often without skimping too much on quality. And they can get designs done much faster than a human designer typically could, as Ratty Interior points out. So yeah, it's definitely democratizing access to decent design.
Okay, so it's clear AI is becoming this global force, really changing how design gets done. But what's particularly fascinating and telling, I think, is how fast it's accelerating in certain places. And this is where it gets really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
We see this huge concentration of AI adoption in Dubai. Why there? What makes that region such a hotbed for AI in interior design?
That's a great question. It really points to this unique mix in Dubai and the UAE more broadly. You've got strong government vision, massive market demand, and then real-world projects actually happening. The UAE government is explicitly backing AI. They're aiming to speed up adoption through partnerships. They've got a whole UAE strategy for artificial intelligence, a national program called BRAIN.
BRAIN, okay.
Yeah, stands for National Program for Artificial Intelligence. And they've even created a role, Chief Executive Officer for Artificial Intelligence within government ministries.
Wow, CEO for AI in government departments, that's a serious commitment. Shows they're really prioritizing it.
It really does. They also have the UAE Council for AI, the Artificial Intelligence and Advanced Technology Council. They even launched a generative AI guide showing off 100 potential uses. And to pull in talent and money, they offer an AI encoding license. Tatiana Tonu also notes that Dubai's big urban master plan 2040 really emphasizes smart tech. So the whole system is geared towards encouraging AI growth.
Okay, so the government is rolling out the red carpet for AI. What about the market itself? Is there enough demand pulling this tech forward?
Oh, absolutely. Dubai's real estate market is on fire. Just had its best half year ever, apparently worth something like AED $326.7 billion. That shows huge investor confidence and demand. And a big chunk of that, over 40% of property buys, comes from international investors. Their expectations for homes are shifting fast towards, as Tatiana Tonu and Ratty Interior put it, intuitive, intelligent systems. Plus, there's this growing trend where investors are willing to pay more for green buildings, which AI can help design through optimization.
Right. Okay. So the foundations are there. Government support, market pull. Are there actual projects or platforms making waves already?
Definitely. Laguna Residence gets highlighted as the UAE's first properly AI-integrated residential project. It's designed to actually anticipate what residents need, adjusting temperatures based on preferences, automating logistics.
Anticipate, like it learns your routine.
Exactly. The founder, Ali El-Gevely, said the goal is to redefine the real estate industry, reshaping the meaning of quality living. It's moving beyond just smart home gadgets to deeply integrated AI.
A home that learns you feels a bit sci-fi, but it's happening right now. What's the most, futuristic anticipation feature you came across in the sources?
Well, Provident Estate talks about how these AI smart homes aren't just doing personalization and energy saving, but also things like predictive home maintenance and advanced security. Imagine your house warning you about a potential leaky pipe before it bursts, or sensing a security issue before it happens. That's the direction it's heading. and for designers and homeowners doing projects. Platforms like Homestyler, Planner 5D, which is apparently known for sustainable planning, and linking to local furniture shops, and RoomGPT, which helps with budgets and live collaboration. Ready Interior says they're super popular in Dubai.
Sounds like a really vibrant ecosystem. Any specific examples of how these platforms are making a difference on the ground? Real projects.
Yeah, Ready Interior gives a couple of good case studies. One was a residential project. They used an AI platform to get a modern, warm design. Saved a lot of time and money, apparently. The occupants just uploaded images and descriptions. The AI generated a design in seconds, and then they tweaked it. The other was a commercial office renovation. AI helped optimize the space using factors like natural light, how people move, team interaction needs, and the result was better function, happier employees, more productivity. So these aren't just ideas, they're delivering real results.
Okay, so the benefits are stacking up. Efficiency, personalization, even better functioning spaces. But it can't all be rosy. It's never a one-sided story. What are some of the, you know, the complications, the risks AI introduces into interior design, especially as it gets everywhere?
Right. And this brings up really important questions about the long-term effects and the need to stay critical. Stephen Dick gives a pretty crucial warning. He points out these AI models are generative and probabilistic. They don't actually know anything in the human sense. He says mistakes and so-called AI hallucinations.
Hallucinations.
Where the AI just makes stuff up that sounds plausible but is totally wrong or nonsensical. He says these can creep in from errors or biases in the training data. So he really stresses the need for users, designers to keep their critical thinking and our oversight switched on, because AI doesn't get context or nuance like a person does.
That's a vital reminder. The human sanity check is still essential. But what about the impact on the people, the workforce, especially new designers just starting out? Is there a risk of, like, de-skilling?
That's a huge concern echoed in the sources. Susie Rumble, who used to be president of the BIAI, worries that new designers may not have time to hone their own skills before AI kind of takes over those tasks. She wonders if they'll ever get that deep, in-depth knowledge of human-centric design, or even the experience to judge if what the AI suggests is actually right for the client. And Liz Bell, the current BIAI president-elect, she sees a plausible scenario of fewer jobs and maybe a smaller and less skilled workforce if AI replaces those entry-level roles. She really urges businesses to invest in training their staff properly.
Sounds like a genuine fear of eroding those foundational skills that humans need.
Yeah, and Susie Rumbold even shared this cautionary tale. She mentioned seeing CVs from budding designers who had clearly used ChatGPT to write them. But then when they met these people face-to-face, they were completely inarticulate.
Oh, wow.
Such a striking image, isn't it? Makes you wonder if AI is almost too good at faking perfection, maybe hiding a lack of real substance underneath. Kind of like those perfect Instagram feeds that aren't quite real life. It really highlights why genuine skills still matter more than just AI polish.
Beyond individual skills, what about the bigger picture? Intellectual property. AI learns from existing stuff, right? How does that affect designers' rights?
That's a massive headache. Susie Rumbold points out, AI gets smart so fast because there's this mass of readily available content that they can learn from. But she asks the key question. How does a designer protect their intellectual property if their content has been used without their knowledge? And Fabita Safar-Oman from Design Matter puts it even more bluntly. She argues these AI tools are built on the uncredited labor of thousands of human designers whose work just gets scraped without permission or payment. That's a huge ethical and legal minefield.
Yeah, that is a massive issue. And if AI is basically just remixing what's already out there, does that kill off true innovation? Could we end up in a kind of creative rut?
That's definitely a worry. Preet Anand believes it's vital that designers do not become complacent or reliant on AI for their creativity. She warns we could end up with little differentiation in styles, leading to a stagnant and dull market. Liz Bell agrees, adding that algorithms might just keep reinforcing existing trends, which could stifle new ideas. If AI just gives us more of what's popular, where does real originality come from? It raises that question of algorithmic deja vu, as Fabita Safar-Rahman calls it, just getting stuck in a loop of sameness.
And what about the clients? If they start using AI themselves to generate ideas, could that cause problems for designers trying to do the actual work?
Oh, absolutely. Preet Anand sees clients looking at AI images with rose-tinted glasses, totally ignoring practical things like budget or the building structure, and Liz Bell mentions clients bringing in AI designs that are impossible to achieve or against regulation, like, you know, stairs with no handrails. So it creates this gap between the AI fantasy and what's actually possible or safe. The human designer then has to manage those expectations, bring things back down to earth.
We talk so much about sustainability and design. Does AI itself have like a hidden environmental cost we should be thinking about?
It really does, and it's pretty significant. Using AI takes a lot of energy and resources. There was research from the University of California, Riverside, reported in the Times, that found just writing a 100-word email with ChatGPT-4 uses about 500 milliliters of water and 140 watt-hours of electricity.
Wow, for one email.
Yeah, enough electricity to fully charge an iPhone Pro Max 7 times. Liz Bell stresses we have an obligation to use technology responsibly. She thinks if people actually knew the environmental footprint, they might use it more thoughtfully. It's a good reminder that even digital stuff has a real-world impact.
That's a stark thought, digital tools having a physical cost. But maybe the deepest concern touches on the very soul of design, right? The question of what makes a space truly meaningful.
It really does boil down to that. Fabita Safar-Rahman argues that AI, because it's trained on mass taste, just creates this algorithmic deja vu, this loop of sameness. And she asks this really provocative question. What do we lose when AI designs our homes? Her answer. Things like cultural specificity, personal history, and creative risk. She states pretty plainly that AI cannot generate meaning. It doesn't understand why that grandmother's chipped coffee table might be the emotional heart of a home, holding memories and stories.
That's incredibly powerful. AI can make things look good, maybe even right according to data, but it can't create meaning, not that deep personal connection.
Exactly. And this ties into Susie Rumbold's concern. If AI can offer something that is 90% as good at the touch of a button, will clients still be prepared to pay for the real thing? She worries it could lead to the demise of highly skilled professional design practices, everyone chasing fewer high-value jobs as the focus shifts from unique artistry towards just accessible efficiency.
This brings us to a really important question, I think, for everyone involved. If AI is getting so powerful, automating tasks, even generating designs, what's left? What is the truly indispensable role of the human designer?
Well, what's really interesting is how consistently the sources emphasize that AI is a tool. It's not a replacement. Tatiana Tonu and Forespace both say AI is not a substitute for human creativity, but actually enhances it. It takes care of the grunt work, optimizes layouts, sure, but creativity, intuition, and personalized design remain human strengths. That's the key difference. AI is a force multiplier, not a substitute.
So it's about making humans better at design, not making them obsolete. How does that play out in terms of skills needed? What does the future designer look like?
Stephen Dick believes it comes down to critical thinking. That's why we're not about to be replaced by these models, he says. Designers who get both what AI can do and, crucially, what it can't, its shortcomings, they'll be essential. Liz Bell also sees it this way. She foresees that AI tools will require new skills which designers will need to learn and harness. So it's about adaptation, learning new things, maybe becoming really good at guiding the AI rather than just doing the tasks it automates.
It almost sounds like becoming an expert AI wrangler, maybe. A new kind of digital craftsmanship using this incredibly powerful tool.
Exactly. And perhaps the most compelling argument for keeping humans in the loop comes down to something AI just can't replicate. The human touch. Liz Bell states it firmly. Great design needs a human touch. Fabita Safar-Rahman argues design is fundamentally a process grounded in dialogue, empathy, and trust. And she believes only humans can make a room feel like home. AI can be efficient, yes, but it can't build real trust or offer genuine empathy like another person can.
So it's not just about how it looks or how efficiently it was designed. It's the emotional layer, the story woven into the space.
Precisely. The real shift, as Tatiana Tonu puts it, is beyond surface-level style to craft spaces that respond, adapt, and evolve with their residents.
Mm.
And interior design, according to Fabita Safar-Rahman, is ultimately about storytelling. It's about understanding how people live, how they move through space, how they celebrate, rest, and reconnect. These are deeply human things AI just can't grasp or replicate. AI might generate beautiful rooms, yeah, but it can't generate meaning or personal history or that subtle feeling that turns four walls into a real home.
So we've looked at AI's incredible power for efficiency and personalization in interior design. We've seen examples from Dubai, streamlining workflows, helping clients visualize. But we've also stared right into the paradox, the risks to originality, that surprising environmental cost, and these really deep questions about what makes design truly human-centric. It seems clear AI is a powerful tool, definitely a force multiplier for creativity and efficiency. But as our deep dive has shown, it's not a tastemaker. And it's certainly no substitute for the empathy, the critical judgment, the unique storytelling a human designer brings to make a space genuinely feel like home. So as you think about the spaces you live in or maybe design for others, here's a final thought for you to chew on. If AI can perfectly replicate any trend instantly, does the very idea of a trend lose its meaning? And how will designers, how will all of us really keep finding and defining true originality, genuine emotional connection in a world that seems increasingly shaped by algorithmic sameness? Keep exploring, keep questioning, and definitely keep designing with that essential human touch.